Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
gonna do. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Not our home of permanency, but we know that you have lying in wait
You know that you have wine in reserve, a mansion that you have orchestrated. You have called it into existence. And until you crack those clouds, God, one of these historical mornings will be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, Father God, on tonight to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, hallelujah, God, grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings, God, we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just want to take my time tonight. I don't want to get into a hurry. I don't want to speed read through the Word of God, but I just want you to allow me to just take my time and just bring unto you what thus says the Lord. And I want you to get you a good seat, get you a cushion to position your posture, and take your shoes off and get comfortable. Get your Bibles, get your tablets, get whatever reading material and writing material that's at your disposal, and just allow me to bring unto you the divine word of truth. And I will be with you tonight, 45 minutes on the clock, and we know we've already used some of that 45 minutes, but the remainder I'm going to do as God has instructed me, and that is bring unto you the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our sermon on tonight entitled, The Pharmacist. I want to say that one more time, the night sermon entitled, The Pharmacist. And we're going to be taking our first key scripture out of the law of 2 Samuel 12:7. And it reads like this. It says, Nathan said to David, you are the man. That scripture reading is found in the law of 2 Samuel 12:7. We know that there are some good physicians in this world. And just as there are some good ones, there are some that could be good but chose to do otherwise. And we know that the pharmacist usually have a good reputation. We find out that he's a family man and he's a good businessman as well. And we have a news report listed that his worth is in the millions. Yet, to increase his profit, this well-trusted professional, he began to dilute the strength of the chemotherapy drug that he was dispensing. He was also caught and convicted of that crime. But in his departure, he left many health care workers asking, how could this be? Some of the same questions, I imagine, must have been asked about King David as well. He was known as a man after God's own heart. He used the power of his office to take another man's wife. That scripture reading is found in the law of 2 Samuel 11. Then he conspired to take her husband's life as well. The man who died was one of David's own military officers who was away from home fighting the king's battles. We could look at the failures of well-known people to feel better about ourselves. But if we feel good about the wrongs of others, we don't know ourselves. The Bible doesn't tell us about the sins of David to weaken our sense of morals, but it alarms to put all of us on notice. We know that the failure of others should cause us to be more aware of our own weaknesses and the need for the grace of Christ. Only in the knowledge of our weaknesses will we be dependent on the strength of our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that the Bible, oh Lord Jesus, is just a mirror that shows me the need of my heart. For in it I see an accurate image, a portrait of me, every part. I want to ask those of you that are out there in my listening digital audience, on tonight, do you see the Bible as a mirror in your life? Do you see it, hallelujah, to show you yourself in an accurate image, a portrait of yourself in every single part? Well, I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight, to let you know that the Bible, the gospel, the tablet, the scroll, is a mirror that reflects how God sees you and I. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And we also know that someone once said that to err is human, and to forgive is divine. We know that this saying, however, is missing one very important element, confession. We know that before we can realize God's forgiveness, we must first confess our sins. We know that confession is an acknowledgement that you and I have failed to meet the standards God has established. That is, we have missed the mark. We do not need to inform God of our sins, since He already knows we have missed the mark. Our confession, however, enables us in humility and in a broken spirit to drop the facade of perfection before Him, which lead to restoration. We know that David's willingness to confess his sins endured him to God, for God is a lover of the truth. We can read in the law of Psalms 51 that David laid out his guilt, hallelujah, before God. And he cried out for God's forgiveness. He made a commitment not to repeat past mistakes and asked to be filled with God's Spirit. Unfortunately, the society in which we live today, hallelujah, places little value on confessions. Yet we have more needs than ever to practice it. We need to confess the sins of racism and sexualism, violent lifestyles, low self-expectation that causes us to squander, hallelujah, and squander our God's given gifts, and greed that hoards resources instead of sharing them with others that's in need. We know that God will be able to heal us individually and as a nation only when we confess our failures and cry for His forgiveness and His power to make necessary changes in our lives. here to encourage your heart on tonight. That whatever you've done, you may say, oh, dear Lord, I've done a lot of wrong in my life. I've done my family wrong. I've done my wife wrong. I've done my husband wrong. I've done my children wrong. I've said things that I didn't mean. I've mistreated some folks. But I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight that there is room for forgiveness. There is room. And it's never too late to go to that person and let him or her know that you're sorrowful for the deed that you had done and to forgive you. Because that's the way God is. God says he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. You know, when God forgives you and I of our sins, he don't continually to remind us. You know, we have friends and constituents and loved ones and kinship family that would like to rewind your life like the rewinding of a clock on the wall, on your nightstand. They would like to rewind the past of your sinful lifestyle and say, honey, don't you remember when we was out in the world and we did this and we did that? We ran after this man. We ran after that woman. You know, we went to the Jew joint, went to the honky-tonk, and we lied and we swore, and we did a lot of things that we shouldn't have done. But because we didn't know God at the time, that we allowed sin to rule our lives. So God knew that we didn't have the understanding of God and who he was and what he could do through us, and how he could take us and he could clean us up with his divine righteousness, and he could wipe out all the dirt of sin and replace it with the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, and that we're able to go on, to look ahead and not look back. So if you've got your hand on the plow tonight, I want to encourage you to keep your hand on the plow and to look forward and don't look back. Hallelujah. And don't worry about your past sins and what you have done, because you have laid it all on the altar. You've laid it at the feet of Jesus Christ. And when you lay your sins at the altar, I'm here to encourage your heart that Jesus Christ automatically removes your sins and my sins and our sins, and he placed them into the sea of forgiveness to remember them anymore. He won't go back and say, don't you remember when we was out there in the world? Do you remember when we stole this here out the store? Do you remember when we cheated on exam? Do you remember? No, I don't care to remember what I did in the past, because the past is behind me. You tell those demons, those baby kids, tell them to get behind you. You don't want to be reminded of your past sins, because God has forgiven you and you have moved on with your life. You are a new creature in Christ, and the things that you once did, you don't do those things anymore. The places that you used to go, you don't have a desire to go there anymore. So tell them to, if they have to remind you of your past sins, then we don't have anything to talk about, because you are newly improved. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old you has passed away, and yet you are a new improved creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. travels hundreds of miles of rivers and streams to spawn. They are acting on instinct. They're in a scene being driven by an uncontrollable force. Hallelujah. I read about a young convict who thinks that human conduct is similar to that of the fireman, referring to the murder he committed and to his own fate. He said things just happen. He thinks some kind of force was responsible for him pulling the trigger and killing two people. But I'm here to say that he is wrong, because man is free and cannot blame his sinful actions on an uncontrollable force such as instinct. We know that more than 2,500 years ago, it was some Israelites were using a similar excuse for their sins. They quoted a well-known proverb that placed the blame for their sins on their ancestors. You can go into the law of Ezekiel 18:2. But God told them that they were wrong. He said that a good man will not be punished for the sins of a wicked son, nor will a godly son be punished for the sins of his evil father. Make no mistake, no matter what your situation, you are responsible for what you do. Stop offering excuses for your sins. Instead, acknowledge your guilt to God and accept the forgiveness he offers. Go into the law of Psalms 32:5. That's the first step in exercising your individual responsibilities. We know that our actions are accountable in God's just court above. So we must face this certain fact. We need his pardon and love. We know that there is no excuses for excusing sin. We must confess our sins before God and before man. And God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. And we're going to read the second key scripture for tonight. The soul who sinned shall die. That scripture reading is found in Ezekiel 18:4. We're going to move right on because we know our time is drawing now. We're going to read to our third and final key scripture for tonight. And it reads like this. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. That scripture reading is found in Isaiah 55:7. Hallelujah. A Christian woman asked another believer how he was doing. With a broad smile, he replied, "Repenting and rejoicing, sister." And I believe this man was walking in a spirit of repentance, daily confessing and turning from sin and rejoicing in God's forgiveness. Because we know that honest repentance involves sorrow. We may forget that repenting leads to rejoicing. When we first repent and become new believers, we experience great joy. But if we then choose to live with unconfessed sins, our joy is lost. I believe David believed his joy could be restored after pouring out his prayer of repentance to God. He made this humble plea: "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." That scripture reading is found in the law of Psalms 51:12. As David turned back to the Lord, his sense of purpose returned. "Then I will teach transgressions your way, and sins shall be converted to you." That's verse 13. Through his faith in a forgiving and merciful God, David began rejoicing again in his salvation. That was verse 14 through 15. And I would like to ask you that are out there in my live podcast audience of tonight, do you sometimes lose the joy of your salvation? because you failed to deal with your sins. If you'll confess them, God will forgive you. 1 John 1:9, He'll restore your joy and help you overcome sins that trouble you. That's what it means to be a repentance and rejoicing Christian. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that a conviction, it makes us sad. But confession makes us glad. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to demagnetize your mind and to infuse your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would like the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you'll encourage us in your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1500, Gilroy, California, 95020. Until we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to change the dimension and the dynamic of our service at this time. We're going to bring you, hallelujah, we're going to bring you songs of Zion to uplift, to inspire you, and to give you a new insight on your spiritual journey. Those of you that have lost loved ones, I want you to be encouraged. You that feel like you're by yourself and you don't have anyone to turn to, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is by your side. He's just a whisper of prayer away. And I want you to know that long as you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. Right now, we're going to go into our hymns of Zion. Be encouraged. Listen up if you will. Till we meet again, cross these skyways and highways. Go in God, and God go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you. God.